This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Awaken the Wonder is the series that we're in right now. This is week four. We launched it Easter Sunday, got a couple more weeks to go, and it's been a great journey. I told the first service, it's like some series I teach are good Bible knowledge, but some seem to have a real timely impact on where we're at in the season as a church, and that seems to be this series. So excited about today to just talk about what Awakening the Wonder looks like. And I asked the question, and I think this is probably where this all began for me, thinking about this particular series. Have we lost our wonder? Has the church lost its wonder? Has it become about, you know, religion and going to church and, you know, putting in our time? And you can even give without wonder. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. It's the miracle Randy spoke of that really is the point. Otherwise, it just seems like we want your money. And that's not it. That's not it at all. It's all about obedience. It's about opening yourself up to God, who promises that those who obey him will see the result of that. I want to say a reward, because that sounds like, you know, it's a system. But it is a reward, but it's really a blessing. It's like you realize the heart change happens when you obey. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. That is a principle, not just a formula. Does that make sense to you? I think awakening the wonder, it's like it opens us up to who God really is and what he really wants to do in us. And it's not about, you know, a religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus. I believe his goal is that we be a body of believers filled with the awe and wonder of who he is. And to be aware that, you know, this life, as brief as it is, we live it for the sake of having him do all that he wants to do in us and through us. And Isaiah said it well. This is sort of the place I started with this message. Isaiah 8, verse 18. This is the prophet speaking to Israel. He was sort of a megaphone, right, to his people. And he says this in chapter 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. When I read that, I plug us into that equation. Isaiah was literally talking about himself and his children. You know, they were a sign and a wonder. They were like a signpost. They were pointing people to God, right? That's what his point was as a prophet to the nations. Well, we are also to be a sign and a guidepost, pointing people to God and that they would know him. And so we can also, with Isaiah, say we are for signs and wonders. There's two ways you could look at that, right? One is we, meaning us as a group, we are here for signs and wonders. We are a sign and a wonder. We point people to Jesus. We can also say we are for. In other words, we are in agreement. We are good with that. Because we live in a world where I think our enemy has done a good job of taking the power out of the church. You know, we've seen it abused. You talk about signs and wonders and, you know, you kind of get this image of a freak show, right? It's like it's all about some spectacle. And that's not what I'm talking about. But I am in agreement that God is a God of signs and wonders. And I felt like this message, I needed to kind of bring that in the mix. As we're pioneering and planting this work in downtown St. Joe, I just want you to know that we're a church that believes in signs and wonders, okay? But we're not a church that exists for the freak show, all right? So we're going to try to separate those two today. I feel like I'm playing both sides of the same fence today. I'm playing on one side saying we are for, we are in agreement that signs and wonders are for today. On the other side, we're saying, but we're not going to let that get weird. You know, we're not going to let that take us a place that would scare people and people can just kind of run willy-nilly and blame God on it, because that's not his problem, it's ours. We are for signs and wonders, and we are in agreement that God wants to do that today. That's kind of my beginning premise. If we don't have an experience of the supernatural in our church, in our relationship with Jesus, we've kind of extracted the power from that. And I believe that all we have left then is just something nice. You know, we have a nice gathering where we're nice people and we do nice things for nice people and we feel nice about that. You know, I'm not against being nice. I want you all to be nice. But there's more to the Christian life than just going through the motions. And the Bible, New and Old Testaments, filled with examples of the power of God. Would you agree with that? I mean, you can't read the Bible without coming face to face with all these amazing things that God did. You know, parting the Red Sea, all the stuff that happens in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, of course, the works of Jesus are just obvious, you know, miracle after miracle. Scripture says that you couldn't have enough books to fill all the stuff that Jesus did and said when he was on earth. Blind eyes opened up, deaf ears unstopped, lame legs strengthened, lepers cleansed, dead raised. That's who Jesus was. But for some reason, people think that it stopped with Jesus. And that's not what I read in my scriptures. In fact, Jesus told his followers something pretty wild. He said, "Greater works than these will you do." Now, that's a big one. That's a big pill to swallow. He said, "Greater works will you do, Gina." That freaks me out just a little bit. It's like, wow, Jesus is like the Son of God. He did some pretty cool stuff. And greater works are we supposed to do? It's like, that challenges me today. Does it challenge you? It's like, okay, what's that about? We're going to read about that today. If you were asked the question, do you believe signs and wonders and miracles are for today? Are they for us today? The only answer to that question, if you follow Jesus, has to be yes, because of what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 17. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons." Whoa. "They will speak with new tongues." Whoa. "They will take up serpents." Nine, not doing that one. Okay, I'm opting out of the taking up serpents part. "If they drink anything deadly, like monster drinks, they will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Now, those are the promises that Jesus left us with. Now, it's not his fault the church has gotten weird with that. I mean, there's literally some churches right in Kentucky that pick up snakes and say that's worshiping God. That is demonic. That's of the devil. I would never have a snake in this house. If you carry everyone in, you're dead too. Okay? Well, I'm going to take you both out at the same time. That's the thing that happens is we take God's word and we run with it in ways that were never intended to run. But that doesn't mean we throw out the reality that signs and wonders are for today. How many of you know that God is still in the miracle business? He still does things that we can't explain. If you try to figure it out, you're just going to get a brain cramp. It's not going to work. Jesus is in the business of doing signs and wonders. Don't pick up snakes and taunt God and do stupid things. That's just stupid, okay? It's stupid to pick up snakes. It's stupid to try to force him to do what you want him to do. It's also stupid not to believe that signs and wonders are real and they're for today. Don't miss out on the blessing God wants to bring to your life. The reason I wanted to bring this message is just so that you would know my position and the church's take on signs and wonders and miracles. We're for them. We are for signs and wonders. We're not for weirdness, okay? Just want to say this right now, that the Holy Spirit is never weird. People are weird, but the Holy Spirit is never weird. So just know the difference between the two. And that's not what I'm talking about, is being weird. In fact, people abuse that and they go looking, right? Jesus said, "It's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks for a sign." And if you read that and you realize, I think what he's saying there is, if you go looking, if that's your goal, I want to see signs and wonders, woohoo, you know, then you've misplaced your affection. What are you really looking for? You're not looking for Jesus. You're looking for what Jesus does. That's like prostitution, right? That's like wanting the thrill, but not wanting the relationship. Are you following me? Okay. So the reality, though, is that Jesus is a wonder-working God. Signs and wonders are for today. What he's condemning is people that are seeking signs and wonders. What we seek is Jesus. And when Jesus is in the house, guess what? He brings signs and wonders with him. He does miracles. He does things that we can't explain that only he could do. And we want that, right? We want to be that kind of a church. We want to be that kind of a follower of Jesus that doesn't limit him and says, you know, you can do this, but you can't go any further than that. I heard a well-known Bible teacher one time say this. Said, if you're in a church that doesn't see signs and wonders happening on a regular basis, you need to leave that church and go find one that does. And I was just a young pup, you know. I was like 19 years old when I heard that, and I've never forgotten it because it just didn't sit well with me. And I was kind of scared for people who would listen to that and leave their church and go looking for signs and wonders. Listen, I want to tell you very plainly, the demons can do signs and wonders, okay? They can do some stuff too. So if you go looking for signs and wonders, you're liable to find something. It may not necessarily be Jesus. That's why you look for Jesus, right? We search for Jesus. We seek after him. We follow him. We're hungry for him. We worship him. And when we have Jesus, we get it all. Like you say, well, I've seen the blonde lady on cable TV who talks to the dead and does signs and wonders. I'm like, yeah, and I kind of know what spirit she's getting that from too. There's lots of counterfeits out there, okay? I mean, you go looking for signs and wonders. You go looking for Jesus. I had an experience one time where in the city we were planning a crusade. There were several pastors that wanted to do something large for the city, and I was in on that circle, and we were discussing different things that we could bring in, and one pastor said, what about the Billy Graham crusade? We could do that and have it at the Civic Arena and bring all these people together, and people get saved. And one pastor just was disgusted with that. And he slammed the table and said, I've been down that road and I'm not going back. It's like, what'd Billy Graham ever do to you? You know, it's just kind of, what's up with that? And what he was saying was, that was the time when there were these interesting things happening, like Pensacola, Florida, where, you know, there was this big revival going on. There was something in Toronto, and there were some unusual manifestations happening in those settings. I'm not saying whether that was God or not. I'm just saying that's what this man wanted. The thought of just having a crusade to get people to come to Christ was not enough. He wanted all the trappings. And that is how awful that was. Because the greatest miracle that it could ever happen is a man or a woman coming to faith in Jesus, having their life transformed from darkness to light, from being dead and coming alive again. Would you agree that that's the biggest miracle that you'll ever see? Is your life rescued from the trap of the enemy and brought into a place of love and acceptance and freedom in Jesus? I'm not saying I'm against those other signs and wonders, but I am saying we got to keep it in balance. We seek Jesus and what Jesus does. And the other stuff, see, I think we get titillated by the spectacle. And it's got to be more and greater and more and greater show to engage us, to excite us, motivate us. And I think we've missed it. I think we've forgotten some of the basic things. And honestly, signs and wonders are the basic things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, wah, 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 but power. So I expect when I preach, listen, it's not about my wisdom and I'm all that. I'm just telling you, if I'm not preaching his word, nothing's going to happen. But if I speak his word has the power to make the change in us that we need. That's supernatural. And I also believe that when the gospel is preached, that signs and wonders accompany the preaching of the gospel. And it's sort of a proof text. It says, yeah, this stuff is real. And I'm grateful that we live in a day and have a church that we could say there has been a change in the people that, you know, proclaim and receive the message of the gospel. How many here today would say something's happened in my life as a result of Jesus moving in me? Just show me your hands. Just, you know, this is modern day miracles right here. We get miracles right here among us in this room. You know, that's what your testimony is about. That's why you're a sign and a wonder, right, to this generation. You're a signpost to them. People say, well, that was only for the New Testament church. Jesus did it, but after that, it kind of all, and I'd say, well, you're spitting in the wind here. Scripture has a different story, Acts 5, verses 12 through 16. Now, many signs and wonders, many, were done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico, and none of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high honor. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. There's the salvation. See, that's what happens. Believers are added to the numbers and multitudes, both of men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and pallets. Then as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick, those who were afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. That was normal, a normal part of the early church. And I don't know where we got away from that, why we think it's wrong or weird or a freak show. It's not. But I understand, and I would just say, I apologize, you know, for how people have corrupted the word and done things with it that never were intended. And as a result, we were disappointed. I was talking to a couple in between services whose, you know, pastor committed adultery. I'm sorry that men are human and they fall. Does not mean the word of God isn't true. 17 times in the book of Acts, miracles were associated with people coming to Christ. It's like, it's It's a way that God does this to show that he's real, that he loves us, that he's caring, he's connected to our lives today. I don't know where they get that signs and wonders ended with, you know, the book of Acts. Never anywhere does it say that. In fact, author Martin Lloyd-Jones, I found this quote, I really liked it. It said, "It's perfectly clear that in New Testament times, the gospel was authenticated in this way, by signs and wonders and miracles of various characters and descriptions. Was it only meant to be true of the early church? The scriptures never anywhere say that these things were only temporary. Never. There is no such statement anywhere." People, I think, if they can't figure it out, if it doesn't match their logic or their reason, then they just want to dismiss it. And I think what we've done is we've elevated knowledge and the intellect above the truth of the scripture. And I'm all for knowledge and intellect. That's not a bad thing. Unless we separate, you know, knowledge from the power of God, because that's what changes lives. Knowledge is good, but the power of God is what changes lives, is what takes you from one place and takes you to another place. It's a transformation that happens. And we aren't really preaching the full gospel if we don't. We're getting part of it. It's not a bad thing. There are churches today that would say that signs and wonders are not for today, and it's, in fact, it's not even of God. And I don't understand, except it's offended their intellect. They don't understand it, therefore they can't embrace it. The fact is this: God is a wild, untamed, all-powerful God, and he often uses signs and wonders to draw attention to the fact that he's real, that he's not just an archaic thought, an intellectual, you know, acknowledgement, but he's real, engaged, involved, knows our lives better than we do, and can do things beyond our ability to understand. That's why I wanted to bring this message to you today. That's why we've been asking through this series to awaken our wonder. Lord, we need our wonder awakened to know who God really is. And the miracle of salvation is where it begins. It's like opening a door. That's how I picture it. A door opens up and you walk through it and you enter a whole new place, a whole new universe. A world is opened up to you. But if you just stand at the door and look around, wow, this is cool, you know? Well, you're in, but there's so much more to explore. How many of you know God's not done yet? That's just the first miracle, getting you into his kingdom, calling you his son and daughter. Awesome. That's great. Do that. But don't stop there. Let that work expand and continue. God is desperate to reach us and let us know that he's aware, he knows, he's involved and engaged, and he does it in some pretty wild ways. You know, I think I told you last week there was I think it was the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival, when there was a great awakening in our nation, and God kind of restored the church's knowledge or their acceptance of these things that maybe went beyond our intellect. And it was cool what God did. And at that time, there was a kind of a prophetic word. There was a man who said, in 100 years from now or so, there'll be another one of these waves that'll be even greater. And that's what they were gathering together for, to not only acknowledge, but to welcome. Last Saturday in the LA Coliseum, over 60,000 people. What can you say except that God is a wild God who knows us? You know, it's funny because when we came into this building, one of the first guys that came to speak to us was a fellow named Michael Sullivan. And some of you heard Michael. He's a good friend to Krista and I. And he has a friend named Bob Hartley. And Bob is also a friend of ours who has ministered at Bethel. And when Michael was driving to this place to minister to us, Bob called him and said, "I have a word for your church, the church you're going to." He's like, "What is it?" He goes, "It's Psalm 115 through 117. So Michael sent me that. And he goes, "Now, oftentimes God uses numbers like he did there, you know, 2 Corinthians 1, 2, whatever that was, and that was their anniversary date, 1, 2. He's like, "Do the numbers 115 through 117 mean anything to you?" And I said, "Yeah, that's the addresses of this building. 115 Francis through 117 Francis are the addresses of our building." It's like, that's just one of those things you go, that is so wild, you know, that God knows and kind of speaks to you in ways that you know. That's got to be God, you know? And I just weep when I see things like that. How tender. I mean, God knew the names, he the number of their children, their names, their first and middle names of the couple, their street address, right, where they were living. I've even seen Sean, Lord, give him people's bank account numbers and social security numbers. He never gives us publicly, right? But as it gets that specific, I said, God, you are a wild, wild God. Signs and wonders are for today. Now, again, trust me, I'm not saying we go like a crazy, wild, you know, out of control kind of church, because God's not a crazy, out of control God. He's a God of order. And I want to give you some things how we can apply this word today and just say, God, we welcome what you want to do in our church. Let me give you some application, all right? Number one is just allow God to be God. Can we do that? Can we just allow God to be God? Would you just say, God, I give you permission to be God? You can be God, okay? He already is, whether you acknowledge it or not. But if you acknowledge it, then it's like, okay, now we're in agreement. You can be God, and I'll not be anymore. How about that? How would that be? See, God has this problem. He thinks he's God, and he is. So he can do whatever he wants to do. Let him have his way. Believe what he says is true. Believe God that nothing is impossible for him. If you believe that, then you're on the same page with him. Does that mean things will always go the way you want them to go? The fact that God is God, not in my life. I've had things happen that I sure didn't want. Now, I think I've told you the story. You've heard Chris and I in our very first year of marriage and living in Tulsa, working in ministry, doing all the right things. And we lost our first baby girl, you know, buried her in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I can somewhat relate to you guys' situation today. That's not what we wanted. I prayed that that wouldn't happen. And it happened. So does that mean that God's not God? Absolutely not. It's not about what always getting what you want. God's not a genie in a bottle or a slot machine up at the riverfront there. He's God. He knows best. Now listen, it's not fun or pleasant when it doesn't go the way you want it to go, but it does not affect what we're talking about here. God is still God. How many of you know we live in a fallen world? Not everybody obeys God. People make decisions that weren't his will. Sometimes it's just, it happens. And if it blows our theology when that happens, people in Tulsa didn't know how to handle Chris and I after that. Because they came from a theology that said bad things should never happen to good people. Like, well, it does. But he's still God. That's, you know, I'm more impressed with people who believe God when things don't go well than when things do. I mean, I'm all happy when they go well. I mean, I'm always going to pray for the best and miracle for your family, whatever you're going through, I'm going to pray for that. But I know this, I've seen people who have pressed through even when it didn't go the way they wanted it to go. They still trust and believe God. I'm impressed with those people. I think those are the folks you watch God do amazing things on their behalf. So here's what I believe. God did not cause all things to happen. I don't believe that. When we lost our baby girl, people say things like, well, God must have needed another angel. It's like, shut up. Don't give God that rap. God didn't kill your kid. He doesn't. That's not the God we serve. That's horrible theology. It's not the heart of God. But he is good. Despite what we see, he is good. And tell you what, he may not cause all things. He doesn't cause all things to happen, but he causes them all to work together for good. That's what his word says. I'm going with his word, okay? I'm going to go with that. Second thing, don't be afraid to believe God for greater things. It's never wrong to believe for a miracle. Man, if you're sick in the hospital and you're in bad shape, I'm going to pray for a miracle. Say, please do, Pastor. Please pray, please pray for that. And I'll always pray that way for you. I always want God's best for you. It's never wrong to believe him for the greater things. Jesus said, greater things than these will you do. So it's okay. You're not being, you know, like spoiled brat kid to say, God, I'm believing you for greater things. So Randy was talking about with the offering earlier. It's okay to sow a seed in faith and trust God, all right? But what you're saying is, my God isn't the result I'm expecting. My God is the God who's in control. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust him and believe him. I'm not going to get ripped off from having that relationship with him. So believe God for the greater things. And the third thing is, don't freak out. Listen, I believe that this church is poised to see some pretty amazing things. I believe God wants to use signs and wonders to prove to people that he loves them. I think things like what we saw could be normal, could happen. I mean, sometimes God gives me pictures when I'm praying for people. And I don't ask for it. I don't make it up. It just happens sometimes. It doesn't always happen. But sometimes those pictures are real keys to what that person's going through or what God wants to share with them. It's like, I just thank you, God, that you are so good and loving that you'll take a numbskull like me. Listen, he spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. He can speak through me and you, okay? He's not limited unless we limit him. So don't freak out by that. Can I just tell you this? The Holy Spirit is never weird. So we're not going to allow weirdness for the sake of weirdness. Randy and I have had to confront people, even in our time together as church leaders, people who are acting weird. And they were being a distraction. And they blamed it on God. People do that. They take weird things and they blame it on God. And we just are like, no, you're not going to be able to do that. Ooh, they're so offended they left the church. Can you imagine that? You know why we did that? Because we love y'all. That's why. You can relax a little bit in knowing you've got a good leadership team in place who believe God for signs and wonders and are all on board with the supernatural. But if it starts getting to be about that person, drawing attention to themselves or hurting people, Chris and I have had people give us words, prophetic words, that our marriage was going to fail. What? I'm not receiving that. Forget that. On Mother's Day, they gave us that word. And I told the pastor, I said, get that bozo out of here, and I'll do the same thing for you, right? I'll put the clan hat on your head and kick you out the door, because that's not God. God is a loving father. He's never going to prophesy death. And the same guy told a couple they were going to lose their baby. It's like, okay, that guy needs the right foot of fellowship. Boom, right now, get out of here. Dustin Colquitt, that guy, said, come on, punt him. We're not going to let that happen. You can trust your leadership. We're not about weirdness for the sake of weirdness, okay? But God might do some wild things. He's a loving father. He only has your best interest at heart. And I'm just saying, trust, lean into that. Don't freak out. Next Sunday, we're going to do something pretty cool. James Harris, our friend from Birmingham, will be up, and he's going to help us set in place, officially, our leadership team for the first time we've ever done that as a new church plant. Pray over and just establish. And that's a spiritual principle that I think God's going to really honor. I'm excited about that. So come back next Sunday and help us do that. But the Holy Spirit is not weird. Trust your leaders. Don't freak out. Allow God to do what he wants to do and realize that if we don't have the power of God moving among us in order, God's a God of order, right? So he's never going to violate his word. Everything, it will always be judged by the word. You judge the word by the word. Anything outside the word is not going to get a platform here. It's just not. I'm sorry. It's not a anything goes. It's only God knows. And we will trust him and stick with this word. And I wrote this in my notes. We need the power of God if we're truly going to see change in the people and the world around us. If we're going to see the kind of change we say we want, yes, we want people's lives to change, and we want them to be set free from addictions like alcohol and drugs and all that stuff, addictive behaviors that are generations old in their family tree. Listen, I don't have the power to change that. Neither does Randy. Nobody here does. But there's one person who we worship, who is God, who can do anything. How many of you know that we want the supernatural power that he brings to help people get set free from that kind of stuff? He can heal the hurt. He can set you back up on your feet. He can give you hope again. And only he can do that. That's his job. John Piper wrote this. The needs of the world today are so great and the present experience of the church so weak that we should long for the very thing that they longed for. In the face of great opposition, early Christians cried to God like this. Lord, look upon their threats. Grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. He's quoting New Testament church here. They cried for boldness in their witness. They cried for God's hand to be stretched forth in healing. They cried for God to perform signs and wonders. They were not just open. Have you heard that? Well, I'm open to it. Well, they weren't just open to signs and wonders. They were desperate for them. I'm kind of coming to that place. I'm kind of desperate because I want to see us really impact this city. And God uses signs and wonders to get people's attention. He just does. It's, as we said, Paul said, it's not just the word, but it's the word preached in power, where things happen. Lives are changed. He says they prayed for those kinds of moves to come, and so do we. It's not just for the sake of having signs and wonders. Okay, that's where I think we get off track. We want to be a church of signs and wonders. Okay, well, we don't seek that, though. We seek Jesus, and when Jesus is in the house, he brings it all with him. And that's what we want. We want Jesus in the house, right? If we'll honor him, if we'll welcome him, if we'll not put limits on him, if we also won't falsely represent him and make a circus out of it, you know, then I think he can do some pretty cool things. Tonight we're going to gather together for our bi-monthly sanctuary, we call it, prayer and worship time. And we've dedicated these nights during the Wonder Series to just asking God to awaken our wonder. And we're going to do that tonight in the form of praying for people who have physical needs of healing. If there's something in your body that you need a touch from God, we'd like to pray for that. We have a great motivation this week. Many of you know our friend Renee Hale, who had a pretty serious stroke a week ago Tuesday. And just been praying and asking God to move on her behalf. And he has. He's done some pretty amazing things. And as you can tell, she's still working through it. You know, she still is pretty worn out, and they've got her working hard. But she had a major stroke, major. Could have been fatal, should have been fatal. The fact that she has her speech, she has her mind, she has her memory, she has movement. I'm just telling you, and this is her words, not mine. She says, "I am a walking miracle." And I would agree with that. And so, you know, there's a testimony right there. Many of you could testify of ways that God has moved on your behalf. And I'm just telling you, I want that to become normal. Not so that we become some big deal. I want Jesus to become a big deal, right? People to encounter Jesus, who is the life changer. And does it always work the way we want? No, it doesn't. Again, I'm not going to promise you that he's your genie in a bottle. You rub the lamp and he'll do what you want. I'm telling you, but he always works all things together for good. That's part of the miracle. He works something in you in the process. You know, Krista and I are evidence of that. Many of you have had situations where, you know, it wasn't what you wanted, but yet God worked through that. And that's today where I'm wanting to kind of raise their expectation. As we move forward, as we prepare to get into a larger space so more people can come and hear the message, I want you to know that this is where we're going. We're a church that believes in signs and wonders and the supernatural. We are. I don't apologize for that. I'm also stubborn enough to say we're not going to be a freak show, okay? That we're a church that believes the Bible, all of it, and that it will be done in the way Jesus prescribed, which is not to scare people or freak them out or chase them off, because I've heard and seen all those things done in the local church. Not going to happen here. But I'm not going to limit God by what I think he can do. What he can do is limitless. He's a God who raises the dead. He's a God who opens blind eyes, deaf ears. He's a God that says, nothing's impossible for me. And I can take the worst, most tragic situation, and you watch what I do through it. That's the God we serve. He's a loving Father. And tonight at 6:30, we're going to pray. If you can't be here for some reason, visit the prayer kiosk over there and give us on a note your need for prayer so we can pray over that tonight. We're going to invite people online to join us and, you know, kind of text in their prayer needs. But really, I'd rather you be here. You know, if you can be physically, do it. Because then, again, I think we just, as we press into God corporately, we're telling him we want you, all that you have for us. We're desperate for it. We want that to happen. So tonight, if you can, come back at 6:30 and we'll pray together. Last thing I'll say is this, and this kind of wraps up what I guess the reason why I brought this to you today. Because honestly, it's the first time I've ever taught on signs and wonders. You know, I don't want people to get all weirded out about this. But I'm determined to not limit God. And if it bothers you that I said that, then probably Restoration isn't going to be your home church, because it's going to happen here. Because I'm desperate for it. I remember the first time I saw a Jesus film. I think it was the film of Matthew when I was in college. And the very first scene was a woman bent over double. No, she had some kind of back issue. And Jesus healing that woman and the look on her face. And it broke me. And I said, I want that. I want to see Jesus move like that. Because that's who he is. He's the healing God. He just is. Do I have it all figured out? Magic formula? No, I don't. But I'm going to believe him to do what only he can do. And it's going to be awesome. And it's not going to be weird. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch people get free. Man, I need it. How about you? I need to be free. There's some areas in my life that need healing. God's continually. Sometimes it's a process, right? He walks us through. Still a miracle, nonetheless. If you're a candidate, would you stand to your feet this morning and let's pray together about that? Chris Valatone said this. Without miracles, the kingdom of God is reduced to words, concepts, and good works, which are all important. But it is imperative that we demonstrate the power of our great King. So the distinction between light and darkness is obvious, and the Lord's Prayer can be answered. See, that's the thing. It's more His desire than ours. I'm not twisting His arm to do something He doesn't want to do. He loves to do this. I mean, the greatest miracle was when He gave His sinless Son to die for sinful me, right? That's a miracle. That applies to every one of us today. So why don't you close your eyes and bow your head and let's pray. Lift this up to the Lord. Father, I thank You for these men and women today who've come. Thank You for this family, Lord, who've suffered tragedy this week. Lord, You know all about where we're at individually. Some of us, You know, there are things that we're carrying no one else knows about, but You know. There are things some of us have battled with all of our lives. Things that have been a part of our family for generations that we just seem did not be able to shake. And today You stand before us as the God of signs and wonders and miracles. And Your invitation is just, bring it to Me. That's what You always told Your disciples, bring them to Me. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's just about our yielding to You. So Father, today I pray, give us courage, give us boldness. Father, give us an ability to believe You for things that our mind and our intellect and our reason can't understand, but nonetheless, God, are in Your heart. Thank You for demonstrations like we saw where You love people so incredibly that you even show them specifics about their lives that no one would have a way of knowing, just to prove You're a good Father who loves His kids. Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.